Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Of course, we got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. So hit us up with your answers. Follow us. We'll be breaking that on down later in the show. And as always, doing some freak on the streets. Question of the night after the DMs. But right now, let's talk about some good stuff that's going on in the world. You know, I love seeing all kinds of shifts that are about supporting sexual and gender diversity. Well, guess what? Boys can now wear skirts. I mean, technically, they always could. But in Dublin, the school board is creating a lot of shift. Now, there's going to be some controversy down the road. We're not quite there yet. But let's just talk about the positive change. Not only are they taking down the toilet signs that make children have to choose a gender, which just that is still quite radical that, you know, grade schools are kind of focusing on that. But that's absolutely stunning. I mean, that's quite an educational empowerment moment there. But also, the primary schools will now let boys wear skirts. That is so radical that my brain is still wrapping itself around that. The gender-neutral bathroom policy, I'm all on board with. Now there's the gender-neutral uniform policy. And this is coming at the request of the pupils themselves. You know, that's what we have to do, though. We have to let the standards and rules align and meet the children, the adolescents, the students where they're at. You know, we're at a time where we're no longer trying to squeeze students into the old, outdated binary that we've operated with for so long. And so I think that's absolutely stunning. What's going to happen is hopefully it's going to start to normalize diversity of fashion, gender expression. And my goodness, at some point, maybe even far less bullying, because people are forced to encounter at younger ages creativity and diversity in terms of identification. I think that's amazing. You know, because right now in our current generation, a lot of people aren't really bumping into it until later adulthood, after they've rigidly been socialized to only see things in the male-female binary. Starting way younger, getting people really comfortable encountering, expressing, and trying on different ways of being. That's mental health right there. That's really saving some people having to go through anxiety, depression, gender identity issues, bullying. So I absolutely love that. Sticking with that topic, again, anytime governments or school boards are making these shifts, I'm over the moon. Right now, government guidance, school boards in England are saying that children should be learning about stable and healthy same-sex relationships. Our new guidance, this is a quote, is clear that children should leave school having learned about LGBTQ relationships. Now, that is what school is about. Education. Education about things that exist that are good, bad, and everything in between. It's about giving information. It's not necessarily directly supporting something, although that is something to support, but it's giving people information about how the world works. You know, children do need to find out that all sorts of things exist in our society. Teaching children that the world, the culture, society we live in, that there's different ways of loving and committing and different relational styles, that's powerful. That's truly what education is about, acknowledging what's really happening in the world, right? Not closing it down around what you're most comfortable with. You know, a lot of our education system is really centered around keeping parents comfortable, but it should be about expanding children's minds and worlds and helping them understand what's really happening around them. So, you know, this diversity exists. There's all sorts of families, and helping children and young adults understand that it's a normal part of everyday life. Again, that is what education's about. Again, that's what the goals of mental health should be, right? Normalizing what truly is. And we're looking at the rates. They're increasing of people coming out as LGBTQIA, all those different identities, gay, trans, non-gender conforming. And it's not that there's more of them in the world. It's that we're now giving them an understanding as to how they can be. You know, language is power. And when we allow people to have access to these terms, they can relate to them. And what they're really doing is relating to their true, authentic core selves. And that, again, is the definition of mental health. Not uniformity and conformity, but actually being able to live the life that makes sense to you and engage your full, total self. And sex and gender are the places where that's still quite limited. So props to those school systems, Dublin and England, really making some changes. Absolutely love that. And, you know, on the cover of this one story that I was looking at, they have the different book titles that they're going to be bringing to the schools. They're very adorable. Mommy, Mama, and Me. And there's another one called Daddy, Papa, and Me. You know, again, just normalizing same-sex diversity. So pushing the topic further into high school, you know, a lot of students aren't supported in the norms of high school, you know, courtship, to really be able to have the relational style that makes sense to them. I love hearing these stories about homecoming king and homecoming queen being really gender diversified. That is amazing. You know, when I was in high school, there was no one taking same-sexed dates to the prom. I don't even think it would have been allowed. I mean, I went to a private Catholic school. I can't even imagine how they would have responded to that. But there's stories now where that's being supported. It's being allowed. You know, teachers aren't going around anymore assuming you have a same, an opposite sexed date. I think we're finally holding some space for the idea that maybe someone's bringing the same gender. So it's more like, you know, tell us about who your date is and not using the opposite pronoun. So I love that. That would have made my time in high school so much more different. And same for the lives of so many people that had to wait until, I guess, college or after to be able to have the date they wanted. I mean, how much more fun prom would have been otherwise. So norms are changing. More on that as we see more of that. But, you know, to any educators listening, just remember, don't assume as you're looking out into the classroom that the children sitting in there are living their full lives. You know, we got to give examples. We got to be talking about the people from our history, artists, writers, musicians, public figures, politicians that were gay. We have to identify them such and allow, you know, professors and teachers themselves to come out as gay. All right, later in the show, doing our Freak on the Streets, listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, it's time to talk about male desire. I know there's probably a collective eye roll in some of our female listeners. But this is actually a really important article. I think it's a really important topic. I think it's an interesting topic. So traditionally in our world, we have gender scripts, gender roles, right? Guys act like this, girls act like that. We all kind of fall in the line, do what we're supposed to do. But it's 2019. Thankfully, people are starting to realize I don't have to subscribe to these gendered expectations. I think it's a beautiful thing. Has a lot of people upset. You know, my buddy, Piers Morgan, he's one of the more outspoken ones. But guess what? Guys like to feel desire too. One of the most profound things that was said to me, both of my brothers are, well, it's actually not true. I was going to say both my brothers are heterosexual identified, but that's actually not true. The older one, who is pretty solidly hetero, but again, I would say has a little flexibility. He is constantly saying that he is not interested in dating a female that is looking to have an old school traditional style of dating. And that if he's going on dates with these girls and they're always waiting to have the door opened and they don't try to ever pay and things like that, that he backs away because he doesn't want to get trapped in sexist gender norms in terms of dating and relationship and marriage. And I think it's such a beautiful, stunning thing. And so he really likes to date more progressive, liberal, confident girls. And so he was the one who brought forward to me this whole concept where he said he likes to feel desire too, and he likes to feel pursued as well and flirted with, and that sometimes he feels like women are always waiting to have that done to them, and they're not always the sexual or romantic initiators or aggressors, and how it really kind of bums them out. So basically, this was like a really huge research project, and I'm so thankful that the guys in the study were willing to be vulnerable, because for some men, they're not willing to really step outside that and say like, hey, I sometimes like to be the bottom. And I've talked about that in some articles I've written, where a lot of times this whole like top bottom thing exists very much in the BDSM kink world, but in a lot of the generalized hetero world, they're like, what do you mean top or bottom? It's standardly a more same-sex sexual-based topic. But no, I try to remind some hetero women in my practice, your husband or boyfriend might be a bottom. Don't assume that because he's cis and hetero-identified that he's a top. Some guys are bottoms, meaning you have to initiate the sex, you have to be the top, you have to be the assertive one. And that's kind of what this article was breaking down, using very different language, but it was essentially leading to that guys also like compliments. it's okay for a female, and important, in fact, for females to also compliment guys on their physicality, that guys like to be flirted with, that it really makes them feel safe and turns them on if their wife or girlfriend sends them flirty comments or suggestive text or pictures, that they also like having touch and cuddling initiated with them, that in terms of sexual activity as well, that sometimes they, without prompting, want to have sex brought to them, that they want their girlfriend or wife to express interest in sex, that they want the wife or girlfriend to initiate sexuality, and that they also want to feel as though they're having sex with a partner that thinks sex is important and that it matters. Look, I'll tell you a little story. This was heartbreaking. And again, listeners, become callers. Give us a call because I'd love to hear your thoughts around this and how this has kind of worked for or against your own marriage or sex life. So our phone line, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. But I was on set for a show that I was doing about 3 years ago. And one of the women that was there, she's probably, let's say, in her 40s. And she was just saying to me, I don't know how we got into this conversation, but she was like, yeah, my husband, we've been married for, I don't know how many years, decades, though, a long time. And she's like, he's always touching me and wanting to have sex and grabbing at me. And I thought, and she was complaining about it. And I said to her, hey, what a compliment. And she was like, huh? And I said, you know, I work with a lot of women that are brokenhearted that they don't have a sex life and they don't feel desired by their partners. And what a beautiful thing that after decades of being together, he still very much desires you and finds you very attractive and still brings his sexuality to you versus taking it to all the other places it could go. And she stood there kind of stunned. And I was like, yeah, because I also remind people, don't have sex you don't want to have, but if you want a monogamous, committed relationship, you have to be sexual. You can't then force celibacy on your partner. You can't say, you can only have sex with me, but I'm not going to have sex with you, so therefore you're going to have no partnered sex. That's not mentally healthy. And that actually falls under emotional abuse, but we talked about that before. We'll talk about it again. But 2019, set boundaries, demand consent and compassion, only have sex you want to have. And take the compliment when your partner still seeks sexuality and desires you. You know, and I always tell people one of my little tips, do something. If your partner is initiating sex with you and you're not interested in whatever it is, maybe it's penetration, whatever, do something. Do something. Don't reject their bid to be close or to connect with you or to sexualize you. Something. Find some other sexual activity or say, I'm not interested in sexuality, but let's cuddle or let's go for a walk or let me hold your hand or let me give you a massage or let me do oral or let's just masturbate together. I don't care what it is, but it's really important with your primary sex partner, if they make a bid for your sexual attention, to not constantly make your response be rejection. Or you guys need to have a talk about kind of shifting the, you know, structure and commitment of sexuality in your relationship. But anyway, more importantly, guys, support to you guys that you are allowed to be bottoms, even if you're in a heterosexual relationship. You're allowed to be the non-assertive one. You're allowed to wait until a girl asks you out. Yes, ladies, guys like to be asked out. You sometimes have to ask out your crush. It's 2019. You know, let's all ask out the people we want to go on dates with and ignore, you know, what gender you are. Because I work with these guys and they're shy and they're introverted and they don't have it in them. And they really want someone to reach out to them, you know? Okay, we're going to be taking a break. Listen to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and Radio.com. We'll see you back in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Love Line.
This is Love Line with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. So hit us up with your answers and follow us. We'll be breaking that on down later in the show, as well as doing some Freak on the Streets. We get to hear the questions y'all have and then slide in into the DMs. But right now, let's talk about singledom. What's interesting about singledom is it is an often pathologized, illegitimized phase of your life. For some people, it's the final destination. Not everyone is en route to relationship. Some people are needing to work on getting to singledom. It's a great place to be, although, again, the assumption is that something's wrong or something has gone wrong if someone lives there or has found themselves there. And not the case. And we even have a fun little term called singleism, and that's when we discriminate against people that are single. You know, think about it. There's tons of holidays that celebrate you and your plus one, things like Valentine's Day, but we don't have any holidays that are about honoring just kind of flying through the world solo, you know, ongoing or temporarily. But what I tell people that come into my office that are struggling with being single is the first thing is that it's okay to be single. There's a lot of gifts that can come from that. Although we can't force relationality, we can't decide that we're going to meet someone today, this week, this month, or even this year. What I do remind people is that you can work on creating the conditions around which that can happen, right? We do have control over that because there are ways that we can keep ourselves single and there are ways that we can raise the chances of encountering someone. Going online is one that I talk about a lot. It gives us access to a multitude of people far beyond the reach that we would have if we just were living our lives locally. And you're also actively able to be matched while not even on your phone, while at work. And so online dating, again, gives you a chance to really connect to a broad amount of people and also quite diversified, right? You can set the ranges far, far, far from home. Also, you have to live in the world singly. And what that means is as though you want to be approached. I tell people, make eye contact, start conversations, be approachable, smile at people, smile back at people, just be engageable. And you might not be doing that around people you want to date, but the more you practice doing that, it then leads to that eventually happening, more comfort in that way. Also, say yes. When in doubt, go out on the date. And when in doubt, after a date, go out three times. That's part of working towards relationship, is accepting that some people are awkward the first date. Some people are anxious or nervous. Give people more of a chance when in doubt, if you're looking for a relationship. There are some deal breakers. You can honor those, but just make sure that they're not coming from your ego. A lot of lists of people's deal breakers are really based on their ego and not really about the person. And we sometimes overgeneralize and we don't know what some of these factors might look like when the person shows up. And so again, when in doubt, go on the date. And when in doubt, after a first date, give it a second or third shot. Again, if you're really interested in a relationship. And I also tell patients in my practice this whole concept of one more step, where we might not be in a place where we're comfortable walking up and asking someone out. But if we take one more little step, that gives us another chance of something happening. You know, I profoundly have this example where I worked with a client and she didn't want to be single anymore. So she's working on this one more step rule. So she would always go to this one bar restaurant with her friends and they normally walk up to the hostess stand and then go get seated. And that's quite intimidating for some people to think that they're going to walk from the bar across the restaurant to ask her out. So she noticed someone at the bar and she said, you know, I'm not in the position where I felt really confident yet to just walk up and hit on him. Although we were exchanging eye contact, I didn't want to just go to my seat. So she said, I did the one more step thing. And what that was for me that day was to go to the bathroom. And why that was powerful is because that meant she had to walk by the bar one time to the bathroom and a second time on the way back. And that one more step put her in closer contact to the guy at the bar. And he was willing at that moment upon her walking by and smiling one more time to ask her out. And so one more step, one more thing that gives you closer proximity or a chance to give them an option to ask you out, or maybe even you get the confidence and ask them out. But in the meantime, again, singledom, use it beneficially. Invest in your friends. Don't rule out friend time if you're interested in finding a relationship. It's while out with your friends that might happen, but also just value time with other people. So build relationships with your friends, spend time with them, and also stay out of the whole idea that you understand what's going to happen in the future, right? You never know what's going to happen next, where you're going to be, who you're going to encounter. So don't decide for yourself what the future is going to look like. Set the conditions for dating to be able to happen. Practice making some big, bold moves and focus on beneficial things with your downtime, right? Invest in hobbies, education, school, fitness and health, whatever it is. Also, I tell the clients in my practice to join specific social groups because a lot of people want to maybe meet those that have similar interests. And we have websites called meetups where they tell you all the different people in your area that have similar interests that are doing outings or clubs. I mean, it's actually quite fascinating when you explore on these meetup pages how specific these things get. And it's pretty broad. You can find something that relates to anyone's level of interest. And some of them are based around singledom, right? I know some people in the gay community on the apps feel sometimes as though everyone's already in a relationship or in an open relationship and they're struggling to meet truly single people. And so singles events can be things that help. So Don't write it off. It can be good stuff. All right. Coming up next, we're going to be sliding into the DMs. The phone lines are always open. 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Phone lines are always open. 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. And it's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs
is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. All right, here we go. Dear Dr. Chris, firstly, I'm a loyal fan of your show. Thank you. And want to thank you for all the amazing work you do. I have a bit of an odd question. For context, my boyfriend and I have been together for 4 years. I would say I have a higher sex drive than him and often initiate sex. However, over the past 2 years, he has started trying to have sex with me in his sleep. He normally starts by forcefully kissing me while sleeping, which wakes me up, and even kissing my nipples or using his fingers on me. This can happen as frequently as every week or sometimes goes months without an occurrence. He doesn't sleepwalk other than this. I have no idea how common this is or if it's a problem we should look into more. Sometimes it leads to both of us waking up and actually having sex, but I'm worried this is a problem as it may perpetuate it. The only thing I could connect it to is my boyfriend smokes a lot of weed, and I know this can affect sleep cycles. However, I have a little evidence to connect the two things together. Many thanks. First off, I'm glad that you're confident in acknowledging that you have a higher sex drive. Just want to kind of call that. You know, female sexual empowerment is a powerful thing, and it's quite transformative in our culture. It shouldn't have to be this way, but for females to be able to identify that, yes, they have a high sex drive, that, yes, they like to initiate sex and want sex. So I applaud you for that. That's phenomenal. And I'm glad that you have a partner who's accommodating to that. Okay, so I'm assuming you're saying that when he starts kissing you and whatnot while you're sleeping, that he's doing this while still in a state of sleep. You know, and sleep comes in many different cycles, and, you know, we're more aware of ourselves or less aware of ourselves depending on what sleep kind of cycle we're in. But my answer would basically be, if he's truly not awake, then he's truly not aware of himself. And we can't ask someone to be aware of themselves when they're not conscious. It's just not a possibility. So my main answer would be, wake him up. You know, it sounds like it's someone you feel safe with and you trust. So I don't hear you saying you feel assaulted. That would be a secondary issue to talk about. So if you don't feel assaulted and it's just annoying, wake him up. And like you said, sometimes you wake him up and you wake up and you both actually have sex. So it sounds like sometimes you enjoy it. If it felt assaultive, then you need to have a conversation and say, look, unfortunately, this is happening sometimes. I don't like it. So we should sleep in separate rooms. But if it doesn't feel assaultive, then I'd wake him up. But I'm not a sleep specialist. So if you want to take it even further, you can look into going to see a sleep specialist. But, you know, again, the solution might just be not sleeping together if it's a problem. And if it doesn't bother you, wake him up. You said sometimes months go by without it. Some people would love that, to be woken up in the middle of the night for sleep. So I would just talk to him about it, making sure he's not conscious. And those are kind of your options. But it's an interesting thing. You know? All right. There you go. All right. Hey, Dr. Chris. Do you ever get any couples in your practice trying to get pregnant or women who can't conceive? I have a friend who's been trying for 5+ years and it's been very painful for her. The problem is she lets it consume her. She frequently sends me other girls' posts if they announce they're pregnant, bad mouthing, saying how she can get pregnant, but not her. It's always a topic of conversation with us, and she starts crying. I feel like a crappy friend because I've been trying to be there for her, but I'm starting to have less patience. Yeah, these are really difficult. I would recommend your friend gets into therapy. It sounds like she's obsessive about it. It sounds like she's feeling abused by other people's posts. You know, a couple things. This is just, let me broaden this up to our listeners. If, again, you're following certain people's posts and it's making you feel bad, unfollow them. If married friends of yours are constantly posting pictures about their wedding or whatnot and you're single and it makes you feel bad, unfollow. If your friends are constantly posting pictures about their family and children and you're struggling to have children and it triggers you, unfollow. We can't protect ourselves from encountering it everywhere, but social media is supposed to be fun. Remember that. The only purpose of Instagram and Facebook is fun and to celebrate and to participate in our friends' lives. You don't have to see it there. Television, ads, yeah, you're going to have to see families and children. That we don't have control over. But Facebook and Instagram should be a safe space that you curate and only follow things that make you smile. So I want everyone to take more control in terms of that. But you're doing the best you can do. You do have a right to say to your friend, after a certain amount of time, listen, I know that this is a struggle for you, but it's starting to become obsessive and I don't want our friendship to only center around you using me as a resource for how bad you feel about other people having children and you don't. Like, you're allowed to set a boundary like that. It's important to let our friends know how they're impacting us. And it's okay to set a boundary with friends around certain topics saying, I don't want to talk about this anymore. It's becoming obsessive and I know it's not helpful. And I would say that to your friend and say, unfortunately, I think it's time where you go take this and see a therapist. Because sadly, yeah, we live in a culture where women are made to believe that they aren't complete women or haven't fulfilled their destiny if they're not having children or even married. And that marriage, the next step of marriage is somehow about having children. And none of that's accurate or true or honest. And not everyone wants that. So send your friend to therapy. You know, it sounds like you're doing the best you can. All right. Sliding into our DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. Take a little break. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on Channel Q and radio.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. So follow us and hit us up with your answers to that. We'll be breaking that on down later in the show and also doing our freak on the streets and then sliding into some DMs. But the phone lines are always open, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. So now let's talk about something that isn't common necessarily, but it's often misunderstood, vaginismus. Now, vaginismus is basically about tension or pain around penetration site of penetration. And we're talking about those that are vagina owners. And this is something that has a heavy psychological component that's often misunderstood. And there's a multitude of reasons as to what can be causing this. Now, again, tension or pain around trying to have penetration. And can also sometimes also be pain during a gynecological exam, using tampons. It can feel difficult or painful. And it's basically the opening has an increase in muscular activity, meaning it tightens. It's basically a protective response. That's the psychological component. What causes this? Well, first off is it can just be generalized sex phobia where someone doesn't feel comfortable around sexuality. And what happens is when you are nervous or anxious and you're tightening, your entire body clamps down and that involves also the musculature of your pelvic floor, which your vagina is part of. And that's not going to lead to pleasure in that area or the ability for any kind of penetrative sexuality. So sex phobia. So one of the things I work with on clients that enter with such a thing is just getting them more comfortable with sexuality, sexual language, using the correct terminology. You know, those that can't use the correct words for anatomy, terminology, and pleasure, that's based in anxiety and phobia. So that's a red flag for me. And I know that the work has to exist there if a client can't even talk to me about the issue using clear, honest terminology. Also just their ability to encounter sexual bodies. And so this is another example where I might talk about pornography, having them watch some pornography, getting comfortable seeing, encountering, and watching sexuality, really starting to normalize that. Normalize seeing and hearing bodies, giving and receiving pleasure. That's massive. And that also pushes us to the next point, pleasure phobia. We are in a culture where we love work, but we are not confident and supportive of pleasure and relaxation. And that's a huge part of this, because the number one goal in treatment is pleasure, but also the ability to just relax and let go. Body shame. How do you feel about your body? If your sexual anatomy is not something you feel comfortable or confident in or with or having seen or engaged and touched, you're going to clamp down. You are not going to be able to be penetrated. And I'm talking, this is something we're talking about vaginally and also anally. Like, again, the whole pelvic floor area, which includes both of those entry points, are ones that need you to be psychologically and physically relaxed to be able to have pleasure there and penetration. Sometimes also we're not fully aroused. Just because you're interested in sexuality doesn't mean you're fully aroused. People that are penis owners, an erection is very clear indication of physiological and biological arousal, but the vaginal area, not so much so. You can feel aroused, but it can take 30 to 45 minutes to be in a position to really enjoy penetration. So we need time, and that's where foreplay and extended sexuality comes in, really warming up the body to relax and get ready for penetration and sexuality. Checking in on sexual desire. Are you trying to have sex when you're not actually even interested in sexuality? Because I want your body to clamp down. It's not your body's communicating to you and for you what you can't yourself. And so your body's saying, we're not there yet. We're not ready for that. Also, are you in a safe condition to be having sex? Partner choice. Again, our body's speaking for us. If you're having sex that you don't want to have, or you're being forced into sex, or you don't feel safe or relaxed or aroused by your partner, I'm glad your body is clamping down and shutting down and saying no, and that arousal isn't high enough to be able to receive pleasure and penetration. Honor that. Listen to your body. We are too comfortable via a lot of pills, just pushing through and ignoring what our body's telling us. I don't want people to do that. And that's why I'm not that supportive of all the different pills and ways that people can kind of bypass listening to their body. Also, trauma. Some of us have had body trauma, sex trauma, relational trauma. That is going to get in the way of you being able to relax. And treatment's going to center around relaxation, really focusing on building a high level of true interest and arousal, and also minor things like lubrication. Lubrication can lead to trauma. When you're having sex while not fully aroused or lubricated, pain. That will then not make you able to relax the next time. You start to associate penetration and sexuality with pain. So really making sure lubrication's involved, full arousal, full interest in sex and partner choice, and also relaxation. But if this is something you're struggling with, or you feel might be an issue for you, couple things. Pelvic floor therapists are phenomenal people to work with. They can work with you on relaxation and strengthening muscle tone and really working through some of these issues. Also, a sex therapist is the person. Find a certified sex therapist. Google that. They can help you deal with the psychological components. And gynecology. Go see a gynecologist. But you can start with any of those three specialists, and they'll be able to kind of hold your hand and walk you through the steps. Because penetration shouldn't be painful. That's a myth. It might not be the most comfortable thing initially as we're learning to explore our body, sexuality, and pleasure, but sex shouldn't be painful. I don't want people to get the idea that painful sex is just how it goes or part of the process. It's not true. I want sex to be associated and conditioned as pleasure, bonding, intimacy, fun, connection. Again, I'm constantly reminding people, sex is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to feel good. So seek that. And if it's not, really honor your body and the lack of interest or arousal and say, what is that about? Is it the sex I'm trying to have? Is it the places I'm having it? Is it the people I'm choosing as partners? Should I be enjoying them? Should I be enjoying the sex I'm having? Because that's something powerful that sometimes comes out of this work, is realizing I'm not having sex I want to have. And I shouldn't want this kind of sexuality. This comes up also when we talk about a low sexual desire for women, which isn't a real thing. Don't have sex you don't want to have. Not everyone has high sex drive. Don't compare yourself to your partners. Some people are asexual. You know, it's all these questions really get to be brought up to the surface. And that's why see a sex therapist and really explore what is my body telling me? What is my lack of interest in sexuality telling me? That I'm just not a sexually desirous person, that I'm really not sensitive enough to my sexual cues that my body gives me. Also just working on having sex that's way more fun and pleasurable. I mean, again, sex is supposed to be fun. Coming up next, we're going to be doing our Freak on the Streets and then Question of the Night. So still more time to weigh in on your thoughts on that. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we got our Loveline question of the night up on our IG page. But guess what? Now it's time for our Freak on the Streets. Let's see what the kids on the street want to ask Dr. D.
How does my boyfriend show my dad that he will be able to take care of me in the future?
Wow.
My dad is feeling this anxiety about it because he has an uncertain future here since he's going to be moving here and looking for work. And my dad kind of wants somebody that's already set up and secure financially.
That's a good
thing. He's an amazing boyfriend outside of that. I mean, he's a complete sweetheart, and my dad really likes him. My mom really likes him. And they all get along really well, so that's kind of the main issue.
All right. That's a good question. I actually really, really like that. I haven't asked anything like that in a long time. So the question essentially was, how do I help my boyfriend show my dad that he's going to be good for me and take care of me? I think that's common for parents to want to feel secure in the people that their children are dating, right? It's a beautiful question that you actually care. So I would say this, a couple things. I don't know where he is currently in his life, and we always have to acknowledge that where people enter our lives isn't necessarily where they're going to stop, right? Like some people are in their process of discovering who they are, developing who they are, and you mentioned, I think, moving somewhere. So we can't always hold people accountable to where they are as they're entering our lives. But I remind people this. What we're really good at is going to our friends and family to complain about people that we're dating, to share the struggles and to complain and to get advice. And our friends and family, sometimes the only experience they have of our partner or the relationship they have is through what we share. And again, we don't always share the positives. We're usually more comfortable sharing the negatives and the struggles. And so that's all they'll know. And so I remind people to always make sure to also share the positives and the strengths of our relationship and the people we're dating so they have a well-rounded understanding of this other person who they might not have any other experience or interactions with. So round it out. That's the best thing you could really do. Share the beautiful things he does, share the amazing things he says, share all the hopes and dreams, share why you like him, why you love him, reinforce, bring that up, and let them meet him a lot. And that's basically going to be that. Because what they really need to know is that this is a good person who cares about you. And again, that's exhibited by them seeing how he is around you and also how you share about him. So that's kind of it. That's really the best you can do. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, we got another question.
Dr. Chris, one of my main concerns when it comes to dating in Los Angeles is how do I, oh my God, this is so hard. I don't really know. Okay, how do I go about, I know what I want to say, but I don't know how to ask it.
Okay, well, what is it that's something you've been wanting to say?
Okay, like, basically, how in Los Angeles specifically, like, if I have a huge group of friends, I intermingle with other groups of friends, like, I'm not someone who's needs to go out more or needs to meet more people. Like, I have a lot of people in my life and I meet a lot of new people all the time and from a bunch of different groups. And it seems like the best way to meet people is online dating, which is like, sure, I could toss up my hands and say, that's fine. I will succumb to society and try online dating. However, how am I supposed to compete with every other woman in Los Angeles? Like, me being someone who's, like, I mean, I consider myself above average in a lot of ways, but, like, if you would stand me next to, like, maybe the stereotypical Los Angeles woman, I'm, like, you know, like, everyone is so concerned with, like, outward appearance here, so what can I do? Is the answer, like, work on your outward appearance, or is it, like, maybe try this app, or is it, like, move to Iowa? Like, I just want to know, like, how can I find someone to date me?
That is a beautiful question, and I don't mean to laugh. I snicker at the last part about moving to Iowa, because I think some people, based on where they're living, they want to throw their hands up. A couple things. People will sometimes say the opposite of what I'm about to say. I'm never a fan of focusing on your outward appearance and changing it. Yes, people do assess us based on their chemistry and attraction to us, and they should, because attraction and chemistry is an important part of a romantic or sexual relationship. I would never tell people to partner up or have sex with someone they're not attracted to. So I do want people to be with people they're attracted to, but I don't think the solution is for you to try to change your outward appearance, because there's a multitude of different types of people that everyone's attracted to. And so to change your appearance is just to change the kind of person that might attract one person to a different kind of person. There's no way of looking that pulls in everybody. Not to personalize it, but I tend to be attracted to people that are outside the lines of what is standardly attractive. I am one of those people that likes people that are diversely bodied and different heights and all that. Like, so I am the kind of person that appreciates creative, diverse ways of being and looking. So to change your outward appearance is just to shift the kind of person that's attracted to you. And that doesn't necessarily promise that it's a better person or a nicer person or someone you can have a better relationship with. I remind people, though, that there's this thing called sexual field theory, or field theory in psychology. And it basically just tells us that there are certain subcultures of people, certain subcultures where certain traits are more desired than others. And so I do tell people, try to put yourself in those environments where, you know, I think of LA, there's West Side standards, and then there's different standards on the East Side. And so I talk to my clients about what areas they're socializing in. But essentially what we're all held accountable to, and what's going to be the easiest, is sadly going online, because it gives us access to a wealth of people far beyond who we could meet at the local supermarket or restaurant. And so I think it's about hanging in there. It really is a numbers game. And so don't give up on online dating. Be on a couple apps, put the time in, also go out in the world and try to meet people. But we are a little bit at the mercy as to who we encounter and what they're thinking about us. There's not too much we can do. So hang in there. It's a numbers game. All right, when we come back, we're going to be doing the question of the night. So there's a few more questions. Go on our Loveline IG page. You're listening to Loveline on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Love line.
This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. It is that time of the night. Question of the night time. Now, tonight's a little bit of a punchy one. Tonight's question was, what adjective would you use to sum up modern dating? I'm kind of scared to see these answers. I'll tell you what mine are. I wish it could be an emoji thing, but emojis don't translate very well to a radio show. Someday we'll have the capacity to do it that way. But I'll give you mine in a second, but let's look at the other ones. So the adjectives used to describe up modern dating. So far we got mess. yes. I'm trying to think of how I can say this one on air. I can't. Someone else said weird. It's definitely weird. It's definitely creative, diverse, and colorful. Every time I think I myself have encountered it all, someone swoops in with some new interesting element to the dating story. Adjectives to describe modern dating. Someone else said vain. Okay. Someone else said it's whack. It sure is. Confusing. It is. I know, because people just aren't transparent and honest about what they want, who they are, how they're feeling. More of that in 2019, please. Somebody else said it's draining. Yes, it's exhausting, but take breaks. It's not supposed to feel overly draining, right? Going online, going on dates, try to see the fun and pleasure in it. Try to take it a little less seriously while taking it very seriously. Try to kind of just like remind yourself, this is supposed to be something that is fun in my free time. And if a person or something's overwhelming me, pull back, change the way we're orienting ourselves towards each other, take a break. Don't get full on burnout. Someone else said shallow. Yeah, I can see that one. Subpar. Modern dating is subpar. I really think most people in whatever generation would say that. It's a different time, right? Decades ago, people didn't have a lot of options. They were limited in their exposure to others. They could only date those that were literally directly around them. They didn't have online and whatnot. And people got married younger, and it was their number one goal. And so some people just left school for a relationship. They just zeroed right in there. But now we have a little more confidence. We put other priorities in there as well. We take our time, you know, highest rate of singledom we've ever had right now. People are delaying marriage. They're taking it a little more seriously. They're also making it a little more whack and shallow, apparently. Somebody else said it's pointless. That's real. Somebody else said it's overstimulating. That's an interesting one. I'd love to understand the overstimulating one. Does that mean that these online pieces are making it like overwhelming? Like what's the overstimulating piece? I want to kind of understand that one more. I'm trying to think of what my adjectives would be. I wouldn't say it's overstimulating. I wouldn't say it's whack. I think it should be fun. I want everyone to say that it's fun, right? Like on their route to finding the person they want to be with, I think there should be an element of fun. Because it's kind of like sex, right? Where it's good for us, relationships and sex. We can go without them for periods of time. We don't necessarily have to have them, but they have elements that are really good for us biologically, psychologically, socially. But we should be checking in before, during, and after and saying, how do I feel about the thought of going on a date with this person or having sex with this person? Then we should check in and say during the date or during sex, how do I feel being with this person? Do I want to continue to be here with them sexually or on this date? And if not, leave, which is shocking to some people. Yeah, leave dates if it's not going or feeling great. You don't have to finish it off. You are allowed to say during sex or date, like, you know what? The chemistry is just really not there in the ways that I wanted it to or thought it would. Like, it was awesome meeting you, or I'm no longer, or I don't want to keep having sex. Like, this isn't feeling good. This isn't what I was looking for. Let's call it a night. Like, that's called health. That's called setting boundaries, right? That's self-care. And then also afterwards, how was it spending time with that person sexually and on the date? Do I want to see them again? Do I want to keep talking to them? But if you don't, communicate that, because that's one of the big things is that people sit in my office trying to decode everything. What do they want? I don't know what they're interested in. Tell people, you know, I'm interested in seeing you again, or that really the chemistry really didn't seem to be there. So, you know, good luck. Or I just want to be friends, and only say that if you really mean it. Like, use the word you mean. You know, I want to go on another date. I don't want to go on another date. I want to be friends. Because sometimes these things lead to friendships, and that's really beautiful. Sex, dates, doesn't always mean it's going to be something romantic or go further, because it's not about longevity. Yeah. All right, y'all. We're going to take a little break. Phone lines are open, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. We come back, sliding into those DMs.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Love Line
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and it's that time of the night. Time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris. I'd love some advice on how to calm down. I recently got into a new relationship, and everything's perfect. Almost too perfect. To the point where it is making me feel anxious and insecure. The last relationship I was in left me in pieces, so I guess some of that fear is carried over. I feel like I'm constantly looking for something to go wrong because it's difficult for me to wrap my head around the fact that there are genuinely good people out there with good intentions. What do you think the best way to deal with this anxiety and feel comfortable in a healthy relationship is? Time. What you're looking to have is a corrective experience, where that basically means if you have a new experience of something that used to be a problem or a struggle, and over time it's consistently dependable, you'll start to buy in and you'll start to believe it. But it takes time. You have to repeatedly be shown that good relationships and good people exist. You have to be repeatedly shown that people have good communication skills or conflict resolution skills. And the more it's able to exist, the more you'll start to buy in. So you have to just hang in there. Be anxious, but just don't live from it. Acknowledge when you're feeling anxious, but just don't speak from it or live from it. Manage it. Again, as we talk about all the time, those are your triggers. Make sure you stay responsible for them. Don't project and put them on your partner. Let your partner just live their life in the way that they are, because as you said, they're a really good partner. So hang in there. Again, don't speak or live from the anxiety, and let time naturally just let you know that this is something that you can trust and count on, because trust is built over time, right? With consistency. Of course, this person's a human being, so they're going to let you down at some point, and that's where you have to do the really powerful self-talk and say, here it is. Human beings let people down. That doesn't mean that it's a bad relationship or a bad person, and stay put. So hang in there. Stick around. Do the work. It's worth it. All right, here we go. We got another one. Dear Dr. Chris, do you think it's weird that my girlfriend constantly listens to depressing music about breakups and missing an ex-lover? She tells me all the time that she loves me and that she's really happy with me, but I find it weird that she listens to such depressing music as if she's going through a breakup. Do you think it's a red flag? No. I think music like that's really beautiful. Some people like slow tempo music, and that tends to have a lot of lyrics that are centered around grief, loss, mourning, breakups. Trust what you feel. That relationship's good. And, you know, again, good relationships are built on trust. If she says all is well, go with that. You know, don't worry about the kind of music she's listening to. Just let her enjoy the music. Don't create a problem that's not there, right? So it's not an inherent red flag, so don't make it one. And just let her be. Because I want you really to make the decisions about what's going on based on her behavior, not musical choice, you know? So anyway, trust the relationship. Hang in there. All right, y'all. Sliding into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore it with confidence. That is our show. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. You guys have an awesome, awesome, awesome night, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.